Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Marjorie Jobe is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend, soon to be not a new friend. We're gonna get to know her over the coming future, and she's an attorney. She's a small business attorney. She's someone who cares an awful lot about you, small business owners, and it's evident to me not only because of her background, because of what I've read of her words and her thoughts in her new book, The Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs, How to Protect Your Company from Lawyers, Lawsuits, and Legal Disasters. That's my kind of lawyer right there, folks. Let's get her in here and see what she has to say. Marjorie Jobe, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We love lawyers. They want to protect our small businesses from other lawyers.
Well, you know,
that's blasphemy in your world, though, isn't it?
That's right. It's a unique approach, I think, this book, and my actual outlook is one that I don't share with a lot of other lawyers.
Well, one of the things I hear when lawyers get together is they say, if you love me, sue me.
Well, that's basically it. That's when lawyers make money, is when the clients that they represent are getting sued or are filing a lawsuit. Fostering disputes and debates are how lawyers get by in the world.
Well, a lot of times they do. The legal profession has gotten to that. Do you think part of that is because there's so many lawyers? We've just grown too many lawyers.
I do think
per
that
capita we have a highest number in the world, don't we?
I think we do. Yes, and I think it's the way our system is set up. Also, is not good for business.
Well, exactly. And give us your thoughts on that. What do you think then?
Well, I think that, first of all, instead of having a business climate in society and approach to the legal system that tries to solve disputes without protracted litigation or arbitration, mm-hmm. we do exactly the opposite. We put our businesses out there. We have all these regulations. We have all these laws that most people aren't even aware of, mm-hmm. because they're not commonly available. And then we don't teach them how to keep from violating those rules, regulations, and
right.
laws. And so when somebody steps in a trap, then all of a sudden they have to spend tens of thousands of dollars getting out of that trap. And so it just isn't a healthy environment. It's not the way we treat our health care. It's not the way that we treat other approaches to business and making a living, and it's just not healthy. It's one of the things I'm hoping to change with my book.
Well, one of the things you talk about in your book is you want small business owners to become business law warriors.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, I think you know that in order to win the fight, you've got to have a good offense. And I used that term, business law warriors. In fact, I almost named my book that.
You should have that term registered, by the way.
Yes, I probably should. But basically, the concept is if you plan ahead of time and if you understand the legal concepts that surround or apply to your business, then you can effectively control the fighting field. If someone, a regulator, a lawyer, whoever tries to ensnare you in a dispute or litigation. And by some advanced planning, you can control your legal destiny and you can really turn the tide on the ability to control the legal situation.
Right. So talk to us about some of the steps, some of the fundamental steps you think that are required to become a business law warrior.
Well, I think that you need to take an assessment on a regular basis, especially the first time if you haven't done it, of certain areas of your business. And I have created a business plan legal checklist that goes down the different areas that apply to most businesses, regardless of what particular area a business applies to. And you can check off the things that you need. You can check off the things that you've already got and mark those off. And then that gives you an idea of exactly where you are. But you need to take sort of a legal inventory, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of provisions do you include always in your contract to the extent that you can negotiate them? What
when you say that, you mean like in a contract put in there that when someone signs this contract, they agree to mediation and then arbitration, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Choice of law. That's another one, because the last thing you want to do is if you are conducting business in Chicago or Connecticut, you don't want to be dragged into El Paso, Texas
right.
court. So simple things like choice of law, other types of very common provisions are often left out. So if you can negotiate those in, you can go a long ways to controlling exactly what happens if someone tries to bring it.
One of the things that there are several things that happen though that you know there are internal to me there are internal and external issues that you talk about in your book, Marjorie. The internal part is making sure you've got policy for your employees, making sure you treat all employees the same with regard to certain issues, making sure that you're in compliance with the industry issues, you know, that you may have, for example, with regard to OSHA or with or EPA or the IRS or whoever. You got to do all those things. Those are kind of internal issues. Then there are the external ones, and those are the ones where a big customer says, "All right, I'm ready to do business with you. Here's my 15-page contract that stacks everything in my favor."
That's exactly right.
Those are external ones, and the small business owner is so happy to have the business, and they think, well, you know, what can go wrong? Or if I don't agree with something in here, I'm going to lose the business, so where do I sign?
That's right. Well, on contractual negotiations, you'd be surprised the extent that you can do some negotiations. Now, if you're dealing with a contract on buying computers from Dell, you're not going to get far in negotiating
right.
the provisions. But if you are signing a contract with a supplier or a buyer, generally you've got some leeway, especially if you approach it from an informed position.
Right.
And you say, hey, listen, what would you think about this provision in this contract and so on and so forth. I mean, I've had some clients of mine who are small business who never thought that they could negotiate those.
Yeah, I want to break that down in a little bit finer terms when we come back after these messages. Marjorie Jobe is our guest, folks. She's the author of Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When I was a young boy, put away those young boy ways. Now that I'm...
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. Lots of stuff that you can find at my website where you can subscribe to my newsletter, check out my blog, listen to interviews, read articles, anywhere from 5 seconds to 15 minutes. We got something you can do, listen, read, ask. And, of course, you can check out did I mention my blog? You can ask questions on my knowledge base. So check all that stuff out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Marjorie Jobe is with us, folks. J-O-B-E is her last name. She's the author of Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs. Marjorie, give us your website and tell us how we can find you and your book.
My website is marjoriejobe.com, and it is a portal with a blog. And there'll be a newsletter that we'll start sending out soon. And there are also ways to buy the book off the website. You can buy it directly from the website, or you can download an ebook format if you have an electronic book.
Good. Here. Good for you. What does the ebook cost?
My book cost, the retail price is $39.95 for the hard copy. I also
right.
have soft copy already out.
Right.
And it is $34.95.
Okay, and the ebook is?
And the ebook is, I don't remember.
Well, let me ask you a question. If somebody in my audience wanted you to autograph the book for them, you'd do that, right?
Absolutely.
So be
I
sure
will.
When you go there, folks, be sure to do that. Folks, this is a book you're not going to want to put on your bookshelf. This is a book you're going to want to keep on your desk.
That's exactly right, Jim. That's how I wrote it.
Yeah, it's English. It's plain English, regular stuff. Even I understand it, ladies and gentlemen. So I see that's kind of the threshold, Marjorie. My audience knows if I understand it, they're going to be cool. So they're going to be slick. So so folks, check it out when you get a chance. Marjorie, I want to talk about this the ability to negotiate contracts. If you go to your bank and you borrow money on a loan. They've got those 20 pages of stuff you have to sign with that tiny 3-point type that you know you're not going to be able to go into break that open and change any of those rules.
That's
but
correct.
But here's what you can negotiate with your bank, folks, and put this in the contract. You can negotiate not only the rate and the terms, but you can negotiate when certain collateral will be released based on certain performance by you. That can be negotiated, can it, Marjorie?
Absolutely, it can be.
And that's what gets a lot of businesses into a bind. Not the fine print, but having collateral that gets stuck to the bank for too long.
That's right, or the bank has control over your ability to borrow.
One thing to remember, folks, a banker is going to take all the collateral they can get and keep it for as long as they can. It's banking 101. And we love them. We love our bankers, but that's what they do. That's their job.
That's right.
So, all right, that's one banking example with banks. What are some other examples with major corporations where we can tilt the contract a little more in our favor?
Well, I think, first of all, I believe that arbitration agreements are very important. And there are some instances where you might decide not to include one, but not very many.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially for a small business owner or manager, the last thing you want to do is spend money on lawyers and litigation.
Right.
And arbitration never fails to cut those kinds of requirements down if a dispute develops.
Do you ever recommend that the first thing you talk about, you go to mediation first, then arbitration? Or do you go straight to arbitration?
Well, I generally recommend, depending on the size of the small business and their flow of income, I generally recommend that you go straight to arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you're paying for two rounds of,
right, I see,
of litigation.
And in mediation, it's basically just to see whether you can get along or not, and if you could get along, you wouldn't have this problem.
Well, mediation has a neutral third party who's been trained mm-hmm. in resolving disputes and mediating disputes. So that's the only thing that's different than trying to negotiate on your own, because
mm-hmm.
nothing is binding, and
right.
It all depends on the skills of the mediator.
Mm-hmm. What about incorporating? Let's change over and talk about incorporating. How important do you think it is for small business owners to incorporate, either as a sub-S or an LLC?
Well, I think it's very important for a small business owner to have some form of a business entity, whether it's corporation or whether it's a limited partnership is another matter that
mm-hmm.
really needs to be discussed and analyzed for the particular business.
But something that puts a veil up between your personal assets and anybody who might be mad at the business.
Absolutely, because it's all about liability, insulation, and protection.
Yeah.
And if you are a sole proprietorship, which is the easiest way to get started and the way that most
mm-hmm.
people get started, you are exposing all of your family's assets.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not what you want to do. And the best way to get started in any business is to start with a business entity. And those can be changed as laws change in particular states or as tax implications change. They can be readdressed. It's not something that you're married to for the rest of your life.
Right, right, exactly. And but when you have those entities, you have to nourish and maintain them as if, you know, as a going entity, because if an opposing attorney can prove that you haven't been, they can get that abolished, can't they, in a lawsuit?
Yes, that's right. They can pierce what's called piercing the corporate
mm-hmm.
veil. And basically the premise is that the corporation is just a shell and you're
yeah.
not recognizing the formalities of
right.
it, and you're just operating it as a sole proprietor.
So you don't just need to have it, folks. You need to keep it up to date. Hey, Marjorie, will you come back again another day? We got a lot more you can teach us.
I would be glad to.
We'll have you back again real soon. Marjorie Jobe, ladies and gentlemen, Business Law Battle Plan for Entrepreneurs is the book. MarjorieJobe.com is the website. She'll be back. I will be too after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.